Hello, and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Tonight, we bring you two adventures of a famous literary character, Mr. Joseph Bindle, the irreverent furniture remover and his overbearing wife, Mrs. B. Written by Herbert Jenkins, the Bindle stories were very popular in the early part of the 20th century. Now, we hope you enjoy Maplewood Barn Radio Theater's audio presentations of The Coming of the Lodger and Mr. Gupperduck's Mishap. We join Mr. and Mrs. Bindle in their kitchen, where a savory-smelling stew is being served.
Anything wrong, dear?
Wrong? Is there anything right?
Well, there's beer. Beer is almost always right with me, unless it's gone flat.
Don't talk to me. Just eat your stew. Oh, you're nice company, aren't you? Sitting there slurping away at your stew. I might as well be on a desert island for all the company you are. The only thing you think of is your stomach. Just look at you.
Well, now, ain't you funny? If I'm chatty, you say, hold your tongue. If I ain't chatty, you ask me why I ain't making love to you. I swear, I kept rabbits, silkworms, and a special kind of performing flea, and I seem to get to understand them all. But women, well, you can search me.
I have some news for you.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
I answered an advertisement today. Here's your apple pie.
You don't say. I was wondering what kind of pie it might be.
I say I answered an advertisement today. Pay attention. And it was about time, with food going up as it is.
What kind of advertisement?
In the Gospel Sentinel. Here's the advertisement. You can read it for yourself.
Wanted. Christian home, wanted by a single gentleman. Chapel goer, temperance, quiet, musical, home comforts, good cooking, moderate terms. References given and required. Apply lonely, care of the Gospel Sentinel.
Well?
Well, this is a Christian home, right enough. Plenty of soap and water, with a hymn or two thrown in, but not so you'd notice the smell. Cooking's good, likewise. And as for home comforts, if we ain't got 'em, who has? There's a sweeping and a scrubbing and mats everywhere. Mustn't smoke in the parlor, unless you happen to be the chimney. And, of course, there's you, the biggest home comfort of all. Yes, Mrs. B, we got enough home comforts to start a colony. I'm always tripping over 'em.
Eat your pie. Perhaps it'll fill your mouth.
Well? Oh, it's good. Fine pie.
No, I mean about the advertisement.
I was just wondering.
About what?
I was just wondering why we want a lodger. Us like two lovebirds a-singing and a-cooing all day long.
What about the housekeeping?
The housekeeping?
Yes, the housekeeping. The housekeeping, I said, and food going up like...
Hell?
Quit swearing. How am I supposed to make ends meet?
Well, I suppose they must meet somewhere.
Don't be a fool, Bindle.
I ain't going to be a fool with their lodger hanging about. If he starts a plan with my home comforts, he'll find his jaw closed for alterations. I'm a desperate feller where my heart's concerned. There's poor old Horace, only the other day, just back from overseas he was.
Horace who?
Horace Gaze. Nice feller he is. Hello, Horace, I called out when I seen him just a-coming out from the station with all his bags.
Hello, Bindle.
The missus will be glad to see you.
Oh, she doesn't know I'm here yet.
Didn't you send her a telegram?
Telegram? No, sir.
Why not?
Lord, ain't you a mug, Joe. You don't catch me trusting women. I've got my own way of dealing with women.
What is it?
Well, I go home, her thinking me still on the boat. I rattle my key in the front door. Then I sneak around to the back, and I catch the culprit every time.
You mean it's happened before?
I won't listen to your disgusting stories.
Disgusting?
You have a lewd mind, Joseph Bendel. You'll have to be careful when that lodger comes.
Lodgers ain't to be trusted. If you expect them to pinch your money box, off they go with your missus. And if you're hoping it'll be your missus, they run off with, damned if they don't steal the canary. No, lodgers ain't to be depended on.
That's right. Go on. You always oppose me. Perhaps you'll tell me how I'm to feed you on your wages.
My wages? Why, I'm getting...
Never mind what you're getting. You eat all you get and more, and you know it. Look at the price of food and me waiting in lines half the day to get it for you. You're not worth it.
You're right, Mrs. B. I ain't worth half the love women have given me.
You always were fond of your food.
I was, Mrs. B. And what's more, I probably always will be as long as you go on cooking it. What will I do if you run off with the lodger? Well, it seems if it's rations or lodger, I suppose it's got to be a lodger. And he's musical too, ain't he? I wonder what he plays, the mouth harp or a drum? Seems a rare sort he does. Chapel goer, temperance, quiet, musical, fond of home comforts, good cooking, and don't want to pay much. Well, he don't sound too picky now, does he?
He's coming tonight to see the place, and don't you go and make me feel ashamed. You better stay out of the room.
How could you say that? Me?
Don't light that pipe.
Don't.
Maybe he doesn't smoke.
But I ain't gonna give up tobacco. Holy angels, me with a wife and a lodger and no pipe? You mean to say I gotta give up smoking for a lodger?
It doesn't matter after he's here.
Mrs. B., you haven't lived 19 years with your awful wedded husband, loving, honoring, and obeying him, I don't think, without learning a thing or two. Yes, we'll catch our lodger first and smoke him out afterwards, all of which is good business. Funny how religion never seems to make you too particular.
Oh, there he is. I will take him into the parlor. Now, Mr. Bendel, remember...
What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. Read the paper.
How in the injurubber can a man read when he ain't smoking? Oh, that blasted woman. Well, don't just sit there with your hands folded across your supper. Tell me what happened.
He's coming Monday.
Does he smoke?
He does not, but he doesn't object to it in moderation.
Well, that's something. Now, my pipe has been feeling neglected. If you don't mind, there's poor old Ralph Gorley. Beer made him sick, but he used to like to see others get snockered.
Don't be disgusting, Bendel.
What's disgusting?
Him watching men making beasts of themselves?
Them making beasts of themselves? Why, if you want to see something beastly, you should go see Ralph after half a pint of beer.
Well, I hope Mr. Gupperduck will like it here.
Mr. What-a-duck?
Mr. Josiah Gupperduck, that's his name.
Well, I'll be damned.
Don't you swear in front of me, Joseph Bendel. I won't stand for it.
Gupperduck. Sounds like a patent raincoat.
Oh, you may laugh, but he'll be company for me. He plays, too.
Is it the mouth harp or a drum that he plays?
It's neither. It's the accordion.
Oh boy, I can't wait. You singing hymns Sunday evenings with Gupper Duck on his accordion. Well, I suppose we all have our crosses to bear.
He's a very good man, and he's going to join our chapel.
Oh, Hardy and Mrs. B and Old Buttercup. I'll be in the Salvation Pool before I know what is happening.
Oh, stop complaining.
What's he do?
He's engaged in the Lord's work. And don't forget, he'll be here Monday night. So you be on your best behavior.
And what if my best behavior ain't so good?
Oh.
Mr. Gripper Punk. I thought you said he was coming tonight.
It's Mr. Gupper Duck, and he should be here any time. Now you just be careful what you say, Bendel, and leave me alone. Can't you see I'm cooking?
Don't be nervous, Mrs. B. There ain't nothing wrong with my conversation once I gets going. What about a drink? The jug's right here.
He's temperance.
Well, I ain't.
There he is. Put away that jug.
All right. I'll put it right here in the middle of the table.
And this is my husband, Mr. Bendel.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Guttersnipe.
That's Gupperduck. Mr. Josiah Gupperduck.
It ain't easy to say, is it? Must have caused you a lot of trouble when you were young, a name like that. Well, it's been a pleasant day.
Pleasant? It's been raining continuously since morning.
Pleasant for ducks, I mean. Not Gupper Ducks.
Bendel, you forget yourself. Here is some stew, Mr. Gupper Duck.
Oh, don't mind me, Mr. G. I don't mean no harm. Care to join me in a glass of beer? You can't get ahead like that on lemonade.
No, thank you. I do not partake. But I do appreciate the food, Mrs. Bendel.
Suit yourself. Well, here's to long-legged babies. Ah, I think I'll get myself some of that stew.
Here, let me help.
Did you get a load of them ears? They look like signboards sticking out the side of his head.
Shh!
If it ain't a rude question, might I ask what you do for a living?
I'm in the service of the Lord.
Oh, union wages?
Bendel, behave yourself.
I am a sower of the seed.
Well, personally, I don't put much stock in that myself. You spend all your time digging, getting filthy, making a hell of a mess, and then somebody comes along and pinches your vegetables.
I refer to the spiritual seed. I preach the word of God, the peace that passeth all understanding.
Oh, that kind of seed.
Mrs. Bendel, this is a most excellent supper. As the good book tells us, the Lord shall feed his flock and
He keeps a few leftovers for his Gupper Ducks.
Bendel! Mr. Gupper Duck, please tell us more about your work for the Lord.
I mainly lecture in the parks and mission halls on behalf of the Society for the Suppression of Atheism. And what are the tenets of your spiritual faith, Mr. Bendel?
What's my what?
Oh, he's a blasphemer, Mr. Gupper Duck, I'm sorry to say.
Mr. Bendel, have you ever thought about the other world?
Thought about the other world? If you lived with Mrs. B, you wouldn't have much time for thinking of anything else. She's as crazy about heaven as a hen over her eggs. It kind of gets my goat when she starts in about heaven and harps and angels and all that stuff.
I fear you speak lightly of serious things, Mr. Bendel. Think of when the trumpet shall sound incorruptible and the Lord...
I'd prefer the whole band on parade.
I see. Mrs. Bindle, let me explain the message I am engaged in delivering.
You play, don't you?
I am very fond of my accordion.
I don't suppose you'd give us a tune.
Not tonight, Mr. Bindle. I have a lot to do tomorrow. There is the Lord's work to be done, and his servant hath need of rest. Now, if you will excuse me, I'm going to retire to my room.
Ah, that's a shame. I wanted you to play a little ditty I picked up at the Yellow Ostrich the other night. It was a good song called If You Squeeze Me Tighter, Jimmy, I Shall Scream. I can whistle it if you want me to. Well, I guess he wasn't interested.
Oh, you're a disgrace to any respectable home, Joseph Bindle.
Me?
Yes, you, with your lewd and blasphemous talk.
What have I done now?
Talking about babies, legs, and oh, you make me so ashamed.
Quiet down now, or you'll get the duck out of bed.
What must he think of me with such a husband?
Well, speaking for myself, he most likely thinks you're an uncommonly lucky woman. You see, Lizzie, you're fickle, and that's the matter with you. As soon as you see another man that takes your fancy, you sort of lose interest in your own husband. Now I ask you, Mrs. B., what would you think if I was to say we needed a woman lodger?
Well, that's quite different. Mr. Gupperduck is...
A sort of prayer hog in trousers, judging from his talk. Me and him ain't gonna fall out, though you did give him an extra dose of gravy. At the same time, we ain't gonna fall in love with each other either. If he pays his rent and behaves himself, then I have got nothing to say. For what's a home without a lodger? But he's got to be hands off my missus, see?
Bindle, you're a dirty-minded beast.
That may or may not be. But if you and him start giving each other the glad eye, then I'll be hurt in my private feelings. And when I'm hurt in my private feelings, I can get hot as a kitchen stove. Now, good night, Mrs. B.
Day waiting in lines, and all I got was 2 candles and 1/4 pound of margarine.
And which are we going to have for breakfast tomorrow?
Oh, a lot you care. All you do is come home to your meals and expect them to be ready and then sit down and eat. Yes, a lot you care.
What do you want to take a lodger for if you can't get enough food for you and me?
Doesn't his money help us pay our way?
But what's the good of having more money, Mrs. B., if you can't get enough food to go around?
That's right. Go on. A lot of sympathy I get from you. A lot you care about me walking my feet off, so long as your stomach's full. Sometimes I wish I was dead. There's nothing but inching and pinching and slaving my fingers to the bone, trying to make a nickel go further than it will.
You just keep cooking. You're good at that. I wonder where old Guppy is. It ain't often that he lets his praying get in the way of his meals.
I hope nothing has happened to him.
No fear of that. Things don't happen to men like Gupperduck. Still, it's funny him missing a meal. Say, it's 9:45. Can we eat supper now?
Yes, I suppose. I wonder what could have happened to him.
Perhaps he's been took up to heaven.
Well, I'll just put his supper in the oven to keep it warm.
Funny sort of job for a man to take up, preaching at people who only laugh back.
Oh, you think so, do you?
I was listening to him one afternoon in Regent's Park. Seemed like a silly bunch to me.
You're nothing but a heathen yourself.
As long as a man keeps his religion to himself, I don't see it matters to nobody what he thinks. any more than whether he wears blue or pink panties under his trousers.
Don't be disgusting, Bendel.
Disgusting? What's disgusting?
Talking about men's undergarments.
Well, I never heard the like. There you hangs them on the line Mondays for everybody to see, and yet you mustn't talk about them. There's just no figuring you out.
What do they say in the park?
Oh, they say lots of things. Personally, myself, I think the atheist is the funniest. There's one guy there that said he wouldn't insult his intelligence by believing the things that preachers said. So I put a question to him.
What did you say?
I asked him if he was quite sure that he had any intelligence to insult. And that made them laugh.
Did he say anything else?
Nope, he shut up. Then they started a Christian meeting next door, and there were lots of people shouting all sorts of things at each other. What God must have thought of it all beats me. Why can't they stay home and pray if they feel as bad as all that? One day a month at home to blow off steam, instead of going to Regent's Park and picking up such a row you can't hear the birds sing. Makes you ashamed being a man, it does. One chap got up and said he was going to prove that there wasn't no God.
And what did he say?
All he could say was that him and his friends had searched everywhere through what they called the whole physical world, and they hadn't found him. Therefore, there wasn't no God.
They shouldn't have allowed it.
Then another guy got up and said he hoped that his friend that had just got down had proved to the whole park that there wasn't no God. And if there was any thinking different, would they hold up their hands?
Did anybody hold up their hands?
Yes. Up went my hand like a whiz bang.
Good for you. Then what happened?
Well, sir, says he looking at me, what is your question? Well, says I, where do you get your hair cut? I need to know. So I never wind up there. Boy, did the crowd holler. That was the end of the meeting. Every time anyone tried to get up and speak, everyone started a hooting and a calling out and having a good old time. There was one feller that made us laugh till we almost died. Every time one of the atheists started talking, he said in a high-pitched voice, "Oh, Cuthbert, don't!" As if it was a gal that was being squeezed.
It is wonderful to see people doing God's work.
There was another guy there. Funny little feller he was, too, talking about the judgment day. Awful things he said. Made it sound like God was worse than the devil. He said he'd be standing beside God when all the people was judged. And he'd tell them how he'd been at Regent's Park, a warning people what was going to happen, and no one wouldn't take no notice. Then we was all going to be sent into a sort of mixed grill and burnt forever. Nice, comforting little man he was. Why can't religion make you happy without you trying to make other people unhappy? I don't get it. When I got a good cigar, I don't go waving it in the face of every person I meet saying, you ain't got a cigar like this. You only got a stogie. Don't seem good-natured, does it?
We've got to save souls.
But shouldn't a man be good because he wants to be good and not because he's afraid of being bad?
You always were a doubter, Bendel. I'd be a happier woman if you weren't.
But do you think God wants to have a man in church who would rather be at the horse races, only he doesn't go because he's afraid? I wouldn't if I was God. I'd give my pinky finger to know what we're all going to do in heaven. Think of Mr. Gupperduck there. What will he do? They won't let him play the accordion, at least not for long.
We shall all be occupied.
Yes, but doing what? There ain't no furniture to move, no food to cook. All I can do is keep an eye on Gupperduck and see he don't go around pinching the saints' meal tickets.
Oh, that is blasphemy.
If I dies and they send me up to heaven, I'll knock at the door and say, "Is Mr. Gupperduck here, the temperance man?" And if they says yes, then I'm going to request a transfer. I often thought...
Why, Mr. Gupperduck, what's happened to you?
Holy angels! Someone's been trying to alter his face. Done a pretty good job of it, too.
Oh, poor Mr. Gupperduck. Someone has blackened your eye and broken your lip.
And his ear is all covered in blood and his clothes are all torn up. What you been doing?
I was addressing a meeting.
Looks as if the meeting's been addressing you.
It was not a very successful meeting.
Well, I know meetings are supposed to change people, but you're more changed than anyone I've ever seen. Here, let me get you something to help you out. Took that down pretty clean.
Don't do that.
Do what?
Don't give him that. Put that jug down. He's in the Temperance League.
Not no more, he ain't.
Oh, you villain. You're all right, Mr. Gupperduck. You're safe now.
Poor old Guppy. They done it in style, anyhow. What were you doing? Must have been saying something they didn't like. What was you talking about?
Temperance. It was a temperance meeting.
Looks to me like they wasn't very temperate with you. Why couldn't you have kept to the next world without getting mixed up in this one?
The Lord's work must be done. I was trying to pass a resolution.
Looks like they passed a resolution on your face. It's wonderful what a man can do with a crowd, but it's still more wonderful what a crowd can do with a man.
Bindle!
Here I am.
Help me lift Mr. Gupperduck on a chair so I can get him cleaned up.
The Lord hath given me rest from mine enemies.
Are you hungry? I have your supper in the oven.
No, thank you. Just some more of your husband's medicine.
Oh, no, not that.
Yes, it seems to help ease the pain. More, please.
Why, certainly, my dear Guppy. Here's the jug.
What kind of country would allow such a beating to take place? It's like the prophets of the Bible who were stoned by the multitudes.
Looks like Guppy don't need a multitude to get stoned. Just a few sips.
Oh, you're a horrible man. In the next world, there will be a terrible retribution upon those who assaulted Mr. Gupperduck.
But he was asking for it, both the beating and the beer. And he seems to like the beer better. Why can't he just keep his opinions to himself and not go a-shoving them down other people's throats when they don't like the taste of them? And if they did like the taste, they wouldn't have beat him up. Yet here you are complaining because Guppy's got himself hurt. I don't understand.
Because you haven't got a soul.
Well, I'd sooner have a flea than a soul. At least there's flea powder. But there ain't no soul powder that I've ever been able to find.
And with that, Bindle rose, yawned, and made towards the door, leaving his wife to minister to Mr. Gupperduck. We hope you've enjoyed this Maplewood Barn audio presentation of The Coming of the Lodger and Mr. Gupperduck's Mishap by Herbert Jenkins and adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. Our sound engineer was Darren Helwich. Our players were Carrie Butters as Bindle, Dana Naylor as Mrs. B., Brad Buchanan as Josiah Gupperduck, and Darren Helwich was Horace. This is your narrator, Byron Scott, hoping you'll join us again next week at this time for another classic story, right here on KBIA.